Sound away. Let us in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the wonder of this gospel message on this beautiful night. Please help us to focus in on it now, to hear again the beauty and the power of this message, or for the first time to hear the beauty and the power of this message. Bless us with it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a strange year indeed. But it's wonderful you're here sharing Christmas with us, because even in such a strange and often difficult year, there's something beautiful about Christmas, something wonderful, especially maybe at a midnight service, the atmosphere, the candles, real or even better than real, the celebration that we have, the magic of Christmas, the real magic. One particular moment of the kind of specialness of it came back to me recently, was reminded of it. This moment happened in another hard year, in 2011, the end of 2011, the year of so many earthquakes in Christchurch. And there were a couple, you may remember, just before Christmas, a couple of days out from Christmas. And my little daughter Lucy was 4 years old then, and she was terrified because of the earthquakes. And she didn't want to go to our kids' Christmas service. It was all too scary. But after thinking about it, she decided, well, maybe she would go. And then when she got there, and she saw the dress-ups and things there, she decided maybe she would dress up as an angel. And then when the time came for the angels to go up the front to be part of the nativity scene, maybe she would go and join in with that. See, there was something soothing about getting together, about singing Christmas songs, about sharing the Christmas story, something that sort of calmed things down. That's the real Christmas magic. One thing I love about Christmas is the way that that kind of feeling gets captured in songs. Christmas carols, songs like Snoopy's Christmas even. I love them, especially the carols. I love singing them. I love the feelings they evoke. The ones we've sung tonight, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, with that dark beauty of the expectation of the coming of a Saviour. The First Noel with the prettiness and the beauty of telling the story in that way. But there's one I want to mention today, tonight, that we don't really sing in New Zealand. It's one of my all-time favourites, though. It's called I Heard the Bells, and it's an old American Christmas carol. And one reason I love it is that it captures something of that Christmas magic. Let me sing you verse 1 of the song to show you what I mean. Here goes. No, I'm only joking. I'm not going to sing it. I won't put you through that, but I'll read it to you. I heard the bells. So this is the first verse. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's talking of hearing the old Christmas bells ring, being rung out to the tune of carols, and recalling the words of those carols as you hear them, the Christmas message of peace on earth, goodwill. It's a bit like Snoopy's Christmas, where the Christmas bells stop the war for a moment. It's that peace on earth, that idea. And it connects to the Christmas story of peace that we heard a bit of. Mary and Joseph with their little baby in the manger, the shepherds out in the fields, the shepherds who, as we heard from Luke's Gospel, had peace announced to them. It's that Christmas magic. You can see a bit of why I love this carol. But there's another reason I like this carol, a particular reason. It's a bit of a darker reason, to be honest. It's because it speaks of reality. Very honestly, it speaks of the real world with darkness shot through it. Here's a later verse of the carol. Then in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. The hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's a very honest, real world look at things. And when you actually do look around, there is incredible beauty and incredible goodness, but there's such a lot of brokenness. And this year has reminded us of that in a strong way. The man who first wrote these words was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He wrote on Christmas Day in 1863 during the American Civil War, where the whole country had been torn apart by this war. His own son had been severely injured. And we've seen ourselves, that country, torn apart again this year. Not quite a civil war, but sometimes it seemed close. But we know, though, the problems aren't just over there. They are here, too, amongst us and with each of us. Ironically, Christmas often brings out some of the very human hurts and faults which lie just under our shiny surfaces. It often brings out the loneliness, the broken families, the estrangement, the distance, the issues we haven't dealt with, the old wounds. I find that it brings out the ways that we fail to live up to the standards that even we have. Under the pressure of Christmas, so often we see our own problems and failings, not least in how we deal with those who are around us. I know I've seen that in myself this week. And all of that, when you put it all together, it does mock the song of peace on earth and goodwill. I vividly remember a time when I heard the bells ringing at Christmas. It was that year of 2011 in the earthquakes, and I remember the bells in the tower of the church where I worked being rung by the quakes. But they weren't ringing peace on earth. They were ringing a lament of a broken world. That fact of a real world that is broken as well as beautiful, dark as well as light, is actually expressed in our reading from Luke's Gospel, this biography of Jesus from the Bible. Now, you might not have noticed, but at the start, Luke mentions Caesar Augustus. He was the ruler of the Roman world. And Luke's reminding us that these Christmas events happened in a very real time and place in our real world. They're not in some galaxy far, far away, a long time ago. They're in our world. And the census that Luke mentions, it's hard to know exactly where it fits into the historical picture of the time, but one thing is clear. When the powers of the world ordered people to go and register, they had to go. When the powers said jump, you jumped. You said how high? Because rulers like Augustus had armies, and they were in charge whether you liked it or not. Luke is very realistic about the world that we live in, which was the world he lived in, the world he wrote about, the world where these things happened. But it's into that very realistic picture that the Christmas message speaks. See, Luke faces human oppression and the brokenness and the things that are wrong. He faces them head on, but he knows they won't get the last word. In fact, they're really just a background to the story he's telling, because there is a bigger reality that Luke is telling us about. Christmas breaks in. It rings in in all its beauty and power. But it isn't a fairy tale Christmas. It's not some other world you have to escape to for a week or two every year through Santa Claus and buying presents. A little bit like when you go to a movie to escape for a couple of hours, but when you come out, everything's exactly the same as it was. Sometimes Christmas is like that for us, isn't it? A couple of weeks of peace and goodwill and presents, and then back to everything else. Now, this Christmas breakthrough that Luke's talking about is real and lasting. It's breaking into this real dark world, but offering a real lasting promise of hope. How does it do it? In the birth of a baby. Let me read again from verse 6 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. This baby wasn't born in a palace, not even in a flash hospital. This baby was born to a simple Jewish family and laid in a feeding trough. It's almost a hidden birth, tucked away quietly out of sight. But it didn't stay hidden. It couldn't stay hidden, because this baby means peace on earth. He is, verse 11 says, a saviour. He's a saviour. And did you notice? The angels say to the shepherds, this is a saviour born to you. The baby isn't just born to his family. This baby was born to the shepherds as well, because he is the saviour. He's the saviour who won't leave us on our own with our darkness and our brokenness and our lostness and our failure. He is the hope for love to burst through hate. He's a king, which is what Messiah means, but not an oppressive king. He's the Prince of Peace that we heard about in our other reading. He's hidden, but he is real and he is hope. Hope born into our real world. Hope for peace. And not for peace just based on our human efforts. In our time, in our culture, we make a big deal at the moment of human efforts to make things right in the world. And that, at one level, that's very good. I mean, it's good that we should try to make things right, that we should try and make things better. But we have to stop and think and be a bit realistic. We've been trying with our human efforts to make things right forever. Every culture, in their own ways, in the ways they thought wise, have been trying to make things right, and yet the world and each one of us remains thoroughly tainted and shot through with darkness. As much as there's wonder, there's darkness. Our human effort is not enough. But this baby offers the peace of God. First of all, peace between people and God. And he would grow up, this baby, and lay down his life on the cross to secure that peace. That's where real peace is found. And that peace, in turn, can create the power for peace between people as well. That's why verse 14 says his arrival means on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. See, Henry Longfellow, who wrote I Heard the Bells, despite the fact that he lived amongst the Civil War, despite the fact that his son had been severely injured, he knew about this peace. That's why he wrote the last verse of this carol. It says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. In this real world, which is often dark, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. He is working. Sometimes it's a bit hidden. You have to look for it, but it's there and it is real. And he's shown it above all through the coming of this baby into the world and the things that this baby went on to say and do. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. So, don't miss it. Don't miss the real bells of Christmas, the bells that announce the birth of Jesus, a Savior born to us, to you. Sometimes you might mistake these bells for the bells of a fairy tale, but they are not. These things happened in this real world, and they've echoed down and continue to echo down to us today here. That's why here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we are celebrating Christmas on the other side of the world, because it happened in this real world and it has rung down to today. The sound of these bells, if you listen to it and you set your life by it, it will allow you to look this world in the face, even at its darkest. In fact, to look yourself in the face, even at your own darkest, and still have hope. You might miss the bells of Christmas in the clamour and noise of the shopping centres, but listen again. Hear them peal more loud and deep with something more substantial, something more lasting than any retail therapy. Indeed, let's do what the shepherds did in verse 15. When the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See for yourself. Look into Jesus this coming year. Read a Gospel of Luke for yourself this summer. I wonder, have you ever read a Gospel as an adult? Why not take one? We've got some down the back. They're our gift to you. Some of them say the essential Jesus. It's just Luke's Gospel with a different cover on it. There's others that say Luke's Gospel. It's more obvious. But take one. They're a gift to you. Read it over the summer. Hear the beautiful sound of this message. Peace with God in this real world. Keep coming to join with us here on Sundays at 9:30. We'd love to see you. We're working our way through Luke's Gospel, carrying on from this story as we keep looking at Luke each Sunday, Sunday by Sunday, we hear from this Sunday. Come explore with us. Hear more of this message of hope and why we all need it. Because what happened in that little town 2,000 years ago is real hope for peace on this earth. Because it was the start of the ultimate display of God's love for us, God's love for you. And that is the real Christmas magic. Let me lead us in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son, that he came, was born, that as he came and was born, hope was given to us for peace. Peace with you, and then peace with one another through that. Bless us, Lord, to know this peace of yours, and then bless us to live it. Thank you that there is real hope, despite everything we might see, because of what you have done and are doing in this world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.